It's 6 past 12 and 67 degrees in Santa Fe as At Noon continues from KSFR News on Thursday, June 6th. Coming up this hour, an insurance company that insures homeowners against major sewer and waterline problems finds that Santa Fe City Council may be turning against it. We'll speak with the company's CEO about what they do. Santa Fe has a brand new member of the police department, a $127,000 SWAT team robot. And the state health department offers health details about an unusual breakout of hepatitis A. I'm Bill Dupuy, back with those stories, 60 Seconds with Christopher Hagan, and more after headlines.
Attorney General Gary King is cautioning county clerks not to issue same-sex marriage licenses until the courts or the legislature decide whether they can be allowed. In a long-awaited statement on the question, King said today that research by his office does not definitively state that the state constitution allows same-sex marriage. Santa Fe City Council had approved a resolution demanding these marriages based on the fact that the state constitution is silent on the matter. New numbers today on the Thompson Ridge fire in the Hemis say it's now burned 12,100 acres, with containment still at just 5%. Fire activity is said to be greatest along the fire's northern perimeter that abuts the eastern side of the Valles Caldera. 816 personnel are assigned to the blaze, with 3 air tankers and 7 helicopters among deployed resources. Meanwhile, new numbers on the Tres Lagunas fire near Pecos list acreage burned at almost 9,600, with 24% containment. 961 firefighting personnel are on scene. City Council's Public Works Committee is recommending that Santa Fe end its relationship with the national company that provides insurance against sewer and waterline repairs. The issue comes up after a complaint from an Albuquerque plumbing company and calls from residents, saying an implied city endorsement of the company doesn't seem right. The New Mexican reports that Councilor Patty Boucher made the motion and the full committee voted to move it forward. With 2 major fires burning in his home district, U.S. Congressman Ben Ray Lujan is asking his House colleagues to authorize an additional $10 million for state and local grants programs to prepare for catastrophic wildfires. Lujan's request comes in the form of an amendment to the fiscal year 2014 Department of Homeland Security Appropriations Act. In presenting the motion, the congressman noted that the current fires, as well as the devastating 2011 Los Conchas fire in Los Alamos, were caused by downed power lines. The first of 3 out-of-state advanced strike teams taking up positions around the state to help prevent small fires from growing into larger conflagrations has been welcomed by Governor Martinez. Their dispatch had been sought by the governor earlier this week due to elevated fire dangers statewide. The initial strike team from Wyoming will be positioned in Rio Rancho. A second team from Oregon sets up in Las Vegas. The third strike team from North Dakota is headed for Socorro. In other news of the governor, Susana Martinez is using Facebook as a tool to complain about one of the email issues she faces. In a 350-word post on Facebook, Martinez asks, "How low will they go?" She talks about the former campaign manager now facing federal charges for hijacking the governor's election campaign emails. At the bottom of the post, she says, in her words, "The left-wing criminal defense lawyer representing the indicted man is promising a smear campaign." The Facebook post does not mention the other issue of emails that concern the controversial contract to operate the Downs Racino in Albuquerque. In Santa Fe this morning, a full-scale exercise took place involving a brand-new bomb robot. Overseeing the tactical actions are Santa Fe's police and fire departments, along with the Office of Emergency Management. It's intended to provide the agencies with a practice run of collaborative response in the event of an immediate large-scale threat to public safety. The activity was staged along Zia Road, just east of Santa Fe High School's campus. Santa Fe resident and Los Alamos lab researcher Thomas L. Rising has been killed in an Alaska plane crash. Rising was aboard a sightseeing trip with 5 other passengers, one of whom sustained serious injuries when the plane flew into a mountainside. The crash is under investigation by the National Transportation Safety Board and the FAA. The southern New Mexico village of Magdalena, about 20 miles west of Socorro, has run dry. The village's well dropped below levels to sustain water deliveries a few days ago. That prompted local authorities to issue a boil water advisory as pressure in water pipes fell off. Now, New Mexico Tech is sending water from its well via a 3,000-gallon tanker truck to help out area residents. They've also assigned their Bureau of Geology and Mineral Resources to research the situation. AAA New Mexico today says that in-state gas prices dropped 6 cents over the last week and are now 7 cents less than they were 1 year ago. Average New Mexico price per gallon is $3.52. The national average is 11 cents higher at $3.63. Santa Fe County's Community Services Department has chosen 7 contractors to provide summer programs for county youth. A total allocation of $110,000 is shared, with each agency limited to $20,000 and a 5% administrative cap. The agencies were required to describe how their services would impact mental or physical health, obesity, or substance abuse. The Boys and Girls Club of Santa Fe del Norte and the Family YMCA's Española Teen Center are among the groups chosen. And weather for Santa Fe: a 30% chance for afternoon and evening thundershowers both today and Friday. Highs in the low 80s under partly sunny skies, overnight lows in the low 50s. For KSFR News, this is Dan Garrity.
It's been a choppy day so far on Wall Street, but the Dow Jones is now down another 25 points at 14,934. 12:13 on Nat Noon. We've been reporting that City Council is taking first steps in breaking its agreement with a national company that insures homeowners against major sewer and water line problems. They say it doesn't seem proper for a city to have such an agreement with one company. This despite the fact that the city authorized the agreement some months ago. Phil Riley is the CEO of Service Line Warranties and says they've already enrolled about 2,000 customers in Santa Fe and have taken care of 7 claims since April. Phil Riley's on the line. You were allowed to use the city letterhead to solicit customers. Do you have similar agreements with other cities?
We do, Bill. We have just a little over 170 city partnerships across the country, and this is a program that we started about 3.5 years ago and have been working with the National League of Cities, as we have we identified infrastructure issues with some cities as a major problem, and we've seen a lot of cities where the main infrastructures have been replaced, and of course the laterals to the consumers who own the consumer lateral, they're having the same type of problems. And so we got into these programs to work with cities to provide affordable warranties for folks so that when their lines, you know, get into trouble, that they don't have to have the surprise of a major expense.
And you need an endorsement from the city to do this?
We don't need it. There are other companies that will go direct to consumers. The reason that we partner with cities is really twofold. One is it creates a level of legitimacy for the program, as in residents can be comfortable that in dealing with utility service partners, that it has been well vetted not only by the city but by the National League of Cities, that this is a legitimate business, upstanding. We have an A+ accredited Better Business Bureau rating, and so it brings that level of legitimacy. The other thing that it does is it allows us to, in working directly with the city, to tailor our terms and conditions for the specific conditions that exist within the city. Different cities have different codes. Homeowners own different pieces of the line depending upon the city. So this allows us, rather than just a cookie-cutter approach like a lot of our competitors do, this does allow us to have a very specific targeted terms and conditions to meet the city's needs.
Are you the only insurance company with an agreement from the National Association of Cities?
Yeah, We are the only one. We are exclusively endorsed by the National League of Cities.
And why is that? Have others tried?
I suspect they have. In looking at our program, the way we got involved with the National League of Cities is we started out working with some small communities in the Mid-Atlantic region, specifically in West Virginia. And after some period of time of working with those and the results that we were able to demonstrate, both in terms of customer satisfaction and satisfaction by the communities themselves, we became endorsed by the West Virginia Municipal League as a program that other West Virginia cities should seriously consider. From that, we got involved with the North Central Texas Council of Governments. We went through a competitive bid process with them and became endorsed for their region. And then based upon that, and seeing the infrastructure need around the country, we started working with the National League of Cities. And as they learned more about not only the product that we offered, but our results in terms of the successes with the cities and residents, they decided they wanted to adopt the program. And then based upon that, they came in and did their own due diligence on us, visiting our offices, looking at our claims history, looking at our customer satisfaction, those type of things, and determined based upon those factors and our experience in working with municipalities that we were a company that they wanted to be associated with.
If the city of Santa Fe terminates its agreement with you, can customers still be insured? Or do you have a way to access them?
Sure. I mean, well, if the residents of Santa Fe are already aware of the program, and we've done a mailing to them about the sewer line warranty product, we would, as a matter of policy, we would not, if the city of Santa Fe would terminate their contract with us, we would not go ahead and continue to market directly to the Santa Fe customers. Our policy is we're not going to go around the cities. We want to work with cities, and so we don't go direct to consumer. But certainly, because residents of Santa Fe are already aware of us, if they reached out to us, we would not turn them away.
It will be in discussion at Santa Fe City Hall. I imagine at the right time you or your representative will be here to defend your program.
Yes, that's correct. We will.
Well, Phil Riley at Service Warranties, many, many thanks for being with us on At Noon from KSFR News. 12:19 right now, and at 68 degrees on our way to 80s for highs. The city of Santa Fe is a brand new member of the police SWAT team. It's a brand new model of a robot to replace the one they've had. Andrew Phelps is the emergency manager for the city and says they've already conducted their first mock scenario with the new robot.
It's a multi-agency City of Santa Fe Fire and Police Department exercise. The exercise itself involves the execution of an arrest warrant by our SWAT team, our Special Weapons and Tactics team. And upon execution of that arrest warrant, they discover a possible explosive device and hazardous materials inside the structure where the suspect was located.
And the robot then is sent in instead of a person?
Correct. We send in the robot to evaluate the scenario and determine what kind of threat the possible explosive device would pose. And then also we need to use our fire department's hazmat team to assess the chemicals that were also found inside the structure.
This robot is quite expensive. How much did it cost?
In the neighborhood of $120,000. And we were able to purchase that this past January through a grant from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and also through the New Mexico Department of Homeland Security and Emergency Management.
I imagine it's sort of like playing a video game. An operator is sitting out in an armored vehicle or something?
Correct. The robot is operated remotely. And this new robot, as opposed to the other robot we have that's a little bit older, the new robot can all be operated wirelessly, which allows it to be much more mobile on a scene, so it's not tethered to a control device.
And how big is it?
It's bigger than a bread box. It's maybe 2.5 feet wide by maybe 2.5 feet long, and it sits about 3 feet high. So it's a little bit smaller than the previous robot, which we still have. We've got both robots operational now, but it allows it to go into tighter spaces than the older robot does.
Now, this robot doesn't actually defuse a bomb. It simply analyzes it?
It analyzes it, and it can take certain actions. It's got electronic arms and grabbers and things like that, so it can take some actions to possibly render a bomb or explosive device safe. But generally, it's going to assess what the explosive device is, and then our trained bomb technicians will ultimately make the decision about how best to render that device safe.
It must have a video camera that the operator can see with.
It sure does. Yeah, it's got a high-resolution video, so we can see exactly what it is that is inside a structure. We can also use it for other situations as well, if it's a dangerous SWAT situation, like I mentioned. If we need to go and search a structure and it's not safe to send law enforcement inside, we can use it for that purpose as well.
So by video, it could be possible for an operator to disarm a device, perhaps?
I believe it has that capability, yep. If that's what our explosives technicians determine is the best course of action and they can do it safely, then that's what they would do.
Very interesting indeed. Andrew Phelps, many thanks.
Thank you, Bill.
12:22 on at noon. A number of people have recently fallen ill with a rare strain of hepatitis A in western states, where the store Costco sold a frozen berry product under the name Townsend Farms Organic Antioxidant Blend. It's been pulled from shelves. But still, products often are stored in home freezers for a long period of time, and the health risks remain active. Dr. Chad Smelser with the New Mexico Department of Health says scores of people have been hit with hepatitis after eating this product.
Yes, that is correct. Right now the current case count for the nation is at least 61 people who are sick. Unfortunately, 11 of those have been hospitalized, and those illnesses have occurred in 7 states. That includes New Mexico.
What's different about this particular strain of hepatitis?
Well, I'm not sure it's necessarily different, but it is a rare type. It's not a strain of the virus that normally is found in the United States. In fact, it's usually associated with people who have traveled to the Middle East, in particular Egypt. Having said that, there are, hepatitis A outbreaks that occur with food items on occasion, and this one jumped out at us very quickly because a lot of the initial cases who were ill or people who were ill purchased a particular type of frozen berry product from Costco, the Townsend Farms Organic Antioxidant Blend.
And even though the product is not on the market any longer, it does take some time, doesn't it, for symptoms to appear?
That is correct. I mean, from the time that you're exposed until you get sick could actually be up to 50 days. And so and one of the things we really need to get the message out, which is great that you guys are putting this on the radio, is that, some people store these in their freezers for quite some time. So we want to make sure that everybody who has this particular product in their freezer gets rid of it.
Well, if someone fears they've eaten that berry product, what should they do? What do you recommend?
Well, I mean, basically what we're recommending is that number one, that you, if you do have the product, that you dispose of it. Number two, you should, if you've consumed it in the last 14 days, you do have the ability to get a vaccination that will help protect you from developing the disease. You also should look at or think about your medical past or your medical history past and know if you've had hepatitis A, the disease in the past, then you're not going to get it again, or if you've had the vaccine in the past. And this includes your children. So if people or lots of people take this product and make smoothies, and if your children have eaten the smoothie, they're at risk as well. And so we want you to make sure in their childhood vaccines that they've received the hepatitis A vaccine.
Now, before there was a hepatitis vaccine, wasn't there a gamma globulin injection possible? Is that another possibility?
The short answer is yes. It is a bit complicated. We only give the gamma globulin to certain people in high-risk categories, but it is something that could be given to folks in the older category. We are using the vaccine basically for all ages at this time because it's a very safe vaccine. There are some, you know, published reports where you should only give it between this age and that age, but those were based just on limited studies. And so in general, it's a very, very safe vaccine. Vaccine is our number one way to prevent people from getting ill. But as you mentioned, the gammaglobulin is also effective.
You know, you have hepatitis when you see your skin is yellow or jaundiced. Are there other symptoms that appear before that?
You know, some of the early symptoms before you get there might be just fatigue, your loss of appetite. You might feel a little queasy or nauseous, and also have a fever. And then, you know, once things start progressing, you might go to vomiting and have some abdominal pain and dark urine as well.
Now, what if someone's medical insurance won't cover the vaccination? The health department does have a supply free?
The vaccine is available through the New Mexico Department of Health. We are encouraging people that do have insurance to go through their own providers, and the reason for that is we don't have an unlimited supply.
Okay, Dr. Chad Smeltzer with the State Department of Health on At Noon from KSFR News. We're taking a look at Wall Street and the numbers. The S&P 500 is maintaining its position above the 1600 mark, but just barely. It's up a slight amount right now. The Dow Jones is down 11 points as investors continue to batter the Dow. It stands at 14,949. It's 12:27 now. We're hearing from Washington that the U.S. Transportation Safety Authority has canceled a plan to allow some small pocket knives aboard U.S. flights for the first time since the 9/11 attacks. The head of the Transportation Safety Authority said the move came in response to resistance from flight attendants and the public. It turns out the 9/11 hijackers used small knives themselves, actually box cutters, to attack crew members and gain control of the planes. Bill Dupuy in the Midday News team with you on At Noon from KSFR News. Glad to have you with us. We're trying a new type of fund drive here at KSFR. We call it a silent fund drive. And if this experiment works, we won't have an online fund drive this summer. How can you join in? Several ways. Return the envelope in the letter you may have received. Or you can donate online safely and securely at ksfr.org. There's a button in the upper right-hand side of the website to do that. Or pick up the phone and call 428-1527. That's 505-428-1527. Hope you can join in.
What's new on KSFR2.org?
What's the problem?
Us. I'm afraid it's all over.
But you just moved in.
Yeah, and now I'm moving out.
Is this because my job with the census is over and now I'm out of work?
That's part of it.
How big a part?
100%.
Seriously Funny, created by Ron Bloomberg.
At 6:30, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights on KSFR2.org.
We've got an extra 60 seconds for the old curmudgeon.
Two people I work with went camping over Memorial Day weekend. They're both adults. The last time I went camping, I was a boy becoming a man in Boy Scouts. I understand the allure of communing with nature. I love wildlife. I love the solitude and contemplation and reevaluation that the wilderness offers. The times I've gone hiking, I've kind of almost enjoyed it. I will admit that I didn't enjoy it as much as the non-hiking that followed the hiking. Back to the two coworkers who went camping over Memorial Day weekend. One joined friends, drove to Colorado, put on a backpack, hiked, camped all of the preceding outside. The other drove to Angel Fire with friends, stayed in a completely refurbished and modernized cabin, and spent the weekend barbecuing, eating food, and drinking beer. The last responsibly, of course. Guess whose side I'm on? If I had any friends and one of them asked me to go camping, I'd reply, take a hike. For KSFR, I'm Christopher Hagen.